ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 2 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड प्रेयर्स बाय द डेमिगॉड्स टेक्स्ट नंबर 6। भगवानपि विश्वात्मा विदित्वा कंसजं भयम् यदूनां निजनाथानां योगमायं समादिशत्। भगवानपि विश्वात्मा विदित्वा कंसजं भयम् यदूनां निजनाथानां योगमायां समादिशत्। की जय। Translation: to protect the Yadus, his personal devotees, from Kamsa's attack, the personality of Godhead Vishwatma, the supreme soul of everyone, ordered Yogamaya as follows. Purport: the words Bhagavanapi Vishwatma Viditva Kamsajam Bhayam are commented upon by Shri Sanatan Goswami. Bhagavan Swayam is Krishna. Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam. He is Vishwatma, the original super soul of everyone, because his plenary portion expands as the super soul. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 13.3, Kshetrajnam Chapi Mam Viddhi Sarva Kshetreshu Bharata. Lord Krishna is the Kshetrajna, or the super soul of all living entities. He is the original source of all expansions of the personality of Godhead. There are hundreds and thousands of plenary expansions of Vishnu, such as Sankarsana, Pradyumna, Aniruddha and Vasudeva. But here in this material world, the Vishwatma, the super soul for all living entities, is Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18.61, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Riddeshe Arjuna Tishtati. The Supreme Lord is situated in the heart of all living entities, so Arjuna. Krishna is actually Vishwatma by his plenary expansion as Vishnu Tattva. Yet because of his affection for his devotees, he acts as super soul to give them directions. Sarvasya Chaham Riddhisanni Vishto Matta Smritir Jnanam Apohanam Cha. The affairs of the super soul pertain to Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. But Krishna took compassion on Devaki, his devotee, because he understood her fear of Kamsa's persecution. A pure devotee is always fearful of material existence. No one knows what will happen next, for one may have to change his body at any moment. Tata dehantara praptir. Knowing this fact, a pure devotee acts in such a way that he will not have his life spoiled by being obliged to accept another body and undergo the tribulations of material existence. This is bhayam or fear. Bhayam Ditya Nibeshatasyat, Bhagavatam 11.2.37. This fear is due to material existence. Properly speaking, everyone should always be alert and fearful of material existence. But although everyone is prone to be affected by the ignorance of material existence, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always alert to the protection of his devotees. Krishna is so kind and affectionate towards his devotees that he helps them by giving them the intelligence by which to exist in this material world without forgetting him even for a moment. The Lord says, Tesham evanu kampartam aham ajnana jam tama nashayam atma bhavasto jnana deepena bhasvata. Out of compassion for them, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Bhagavad Gita 10.11. The word yoga means link. Any system of yoga is an attempt to reconnect our broken relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are different types of yoga, of which bhakti yoga is the best. In other yoga systems, one must undergo various processes before attaining perfection. But bhakti yoga is direct. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 6.47, Yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantara atmanam shriddhavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamo mataha. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. For the bhakti yogi, a human body is guaranteed in his next existence. As stated by Lord Krishna, Suchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Brashtobhi Jayate. Yoga Maya is the spiritual potency of the Lord. Out of affection for his devotee, the Lord always stays in spiritual touch with them. Although otherwise, his Maya potency is so strong that she bewilders even exalted demigods like Brahma. Therefore, the Lord's potency is called Yoga Maya. Since the Lord is Vishwatma, he immediately ordered Yogamaya to give protection to Devaki. Oh. So we are reading one of the most beautiful chapters in the Srimad Bhagavatam, prayers of the demigods to Lord Krishna, who is in the womb of Mother Devaki. Now these are very beautiful prayers in this chapter, and we have an opportunity to study them now. The next few days we'll be reading these prayers, and we have an opportunity to connect to Krishna by repeating these prayers and internalizing these prayers and making them very personal. So it's actually very practical. Like, for example, we could chant one prayer where demigods are saying that, Krishna, you always protect your devotees. So we can repeat these prayers and then also make it personal by telling Krishna how Krishna has protected us individually, how Krishna has protected me individually through so many situations in life. So this way, what happens, we are repeating the prayers from the Srimad Bhagavatam and also adding our own offering to Krishna. Vishwaru Prabhu was mentioning a few Sundays back when he gave the Sunday feast class, how a devotee, when he becomes, when he remembers Krishna, he thanks Krishna not just for what has happened yesterday or just today. Even for that period of time when he was not a devotee, whatever he has gone through, he recollects and says, Krishna, thank you. When I was in the 12th standard, I went through this crisis and you helped me. Thank you, Krishna. If you had not intervened, I would have not become a devotee today. Thank you, Krishna. You know, 10 years ago, this happened. So all this, a devotee starts seeing everything that happened in his life as Krishna's intervention. So like that, we can chant prayers and become introspective and offer our own prayer. Generally, many times, devotees have this question, how to offer prayers to Krishna? So there are two extremes we may go through. One extreme is repeat the prayers of the Bhagavatam and Acharyas in a mechanical way and just repeat them because we have to repeat these prayers. And while repeating those prayers, we may actually hide behind those prayers. In the sense, we may not actually reveal our false ego to Krishna. We may not actually confess to Krishna how fallen we are. The other extreme is, let me just offer my prayers to Krishna. You know, I love Krishna. So let me offer. So, but we are not so pure, so our mind will wander everywhere and we'll get distracted. So best is to have the anchor of the prayers of Srimad Bhagavatam. With the shelter of these prayers, we repeat these prayers and then offer our own prayers. So that way, we are in touch with the parampara, because without their mercy, our praying is simply like somebody crying in the desert. You know, it's not going to have any effect. So we have the touch of the parampara, the acharya, the Bhagavatam, and we offer those prayers with the anchor, with the shelter of these prayers, and then add our own prayers. That is the safest way to approach Krishna. And in this chapter, you will find beautiful prayers where demigods are saying, Krishna, you are true to your vow. You always protect your devotees. Then they address Krishna as Satyam Param. You are the supreme absolute truth. So when we are praying, we can also say, Krishna, you are the supreme truth and everything is relative in this world. Because truth is relative when it has some past and when it is going to end in future. If something is true, even in the past, present and future, all time, that is absolute truth. So we can recollect how in material world, everything is relative truth. And the demigods pray, Krishna, this material manifestation is vriksha. The technical meaning of the word vriksha is that which is going to be cut down. So vriksha means tree. So they are saying this tree of material existence, the manifestation of this material world is vriksha. It is going to be cut down by the power of time. But you are not influenced by time. You are the supreme absolute truth. So when we are repeating this prayer, then we can add our own prayer. Like, Krishna, how you are not influenced by time, but everything else is going to be destroyed. Therefore, you are absolute truth. So whether it is a redwood tree in California or whether it is the gigantic Himalayas, it's all going to be crushed to powder by the power of time. And Krishna, then what to speak of other things of this world, whether it is the Taj Mahal or whether it is my own two-bedroom flat in Goregaon. Everything is going to be finished by time. Everything is relative, Krishna. But you are eternal, so please protect me. So like this, with each prayer, we can offer our hearts to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada does that. If you read Krishna book, when he is translating all these prayers of the personified Vedas, prayers of Nagapatnis, he adds his own commentary also. So here he explains how Kathopanishad says there are two birds in the same tree, samane vrikshe purusho nimagno, and one bird is busy eating two kinds of fruits in this tree. One is sweet and one is bitter and is miserable. The other bird is simply watching when this bird will turn to me. So Prabhupada explains from the Kathopanishad that this material world is like that tree, and there are two kinds of fruits in this tree of material existence, the fruit of happiness and the fruit of distress, misery. And we are like that bird which is sometimes tasting the fruit of happiness and sometimes tasting the fruit of misery, and we are miserable. And the other bird who is simply waiting for us to turn to him is Krishna, the super soul in the heart. So like that we can remember, and then the demigods are praying how that this material manifestation is held very strongly on the ground of material nature, and there are strong, deep and far stretching roots of this tree which are spread in three directions. So the demigods compare this with the three modes, Rajoguna, Sattvaguna and Tamoguna. How we are all influenced by these three modes, Krishna, please protect me, this is very strong. Like that we can offer prayers. And the demigods say, how Krishna, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but less intelligent, foolish people, because of the influence of three modes, they cannot surrender to you. They cannot recognize you. Then we can also say, Krishna, I am one such foolish person who is not able to surrender to you. Like Radhana Swami Maharaj was saying once, that Maya is so expert, she can bewilder both a devotees and non-devotees. Non-devotees, she convinces them not to surrender to Krishna. And to devotees, she convinces to postpone their surrender to Krishna. So we can say, Krishna, I have been postponing my surrender to you for so many lifetimes. Let me now surrender to you. So like this, all these prayers are there. How demigods are saying, Krishna, you give pleasure to all the devotees, but to non-devotees, you strike terror in their hearts. And a person can cross over the ocean of material existence simply by meditating upon your lotus feet. So we can see Gopinath's lotus feet is very small, with a pinkish hue. But we are foolish if we think it is small. Actually, this lotus feet of Krishna can give shelter to the whole universe. And the demigods are saying that one who takes shelter of the boat of your lotus feet can cross over this ocean. But when the pure devotees cross over this ocean of material existence, with this boat of your lotus feet, when they reach the other shore, the boat comes back to the original shore. They do not take the boat with them. The boat remains where it was in the original place, in the material world. Why? So that the others can take shelter of that lotus feet, that boat of Krishna's lotus feet, and come back to the spiritual world. So like that, they offer wonderful prayer. And then they also explain how impersonalists cannot understand you, Krishna. And all the hard work they do will simply be fruitless labor. Klishyanti kevala bodhalabde. And then they say, only you can be known if somebody engages in devotional service. Atapite deva padam bhujadvaya prasada leshanugrihita evahi janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno na chanya eko pichiran vichinvan. Krishna, you cannot be known by any amount of speculation. You can only be known if there is a little bit of mercy from your side. Prasada lesha, just little bit of mercy, then one can know. But without your mercy, if somebody tries to speculate you, he can never know you. So like this, we can also offer prayers. Samashritaye padapallavaplavam mahat padam punyayasho murare bhavambudirvatsa padam param padam 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 yadvipadham natesham. Krishna, this ocean of material existence is huge and we cannot cross over this. And then, but if somebody takes shelter of your lotus feet, then this huge ocean of material existence becomes as small as the water contained in the hoof print of a calf. How much water is contained in the hoof print of a calf? It's nothing. One can easily cross over. Bhavam Budhir, Bhava means material world. The ocean of material world, Bhavam Budhir Vatsa Padam. It becomes like the water in the hoof print of a calf. Otherwise, Padam Padam Yad Vipadam Natesham. Otherwise, this material world is full of dangers. And then they say, Yene Aravindaksha Vimukta Maninas Tvayastha Bhavad Avishuddha Buddhaya Aruye Krishna Parampadam Tata Patant Adona Dhritayusmadangraya. Krishna, if somebody turns away from you and he thinks, he may imagine himself to be liberated, but he can never be liberated. And he's only fooling himself. Only one who takes shelter of your lotus feet can actually get liberated from this material existence. And then they also compare how a devotee, if he falls down, Krishna protects him. Navai jano jatu katanchana vrajen smaran mukundangri. Navai jano jatu katanchana vrajen mukunda sevan navadanga samshaya. Smaran mukundangri upaguhanam punar vihatu michena rasagraho jana. This is a verse from the first canto, where Narad Muni is saying the power of devotional service. So we can repeat these prayers where Narad Muni is saying that if somebody, even if he falls down from devotional service, because he has once tasted the lotus feet of Krishna, he has got rasa, that rasa will get him back. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that a devotee falling down and a karmi giving up the path of devotional service, there's a lot of difference. He says, just like a king's son, if he is wandering about as a beggar, as a vagabond, and a beggar's son is also wandering about, there's a lot of difference. The king's son is under the protection of the king. Similarly, a devotee is under the protection of Krishna. So like that, demigods are offering different prayers. And finally they say, how Krishna, you are coming not to kill the demons. Because demons, Prabhupada writes there, demons can be vanquished by simply one kick of the material nature. You are coming because of your pleasure meeting with your devotees. You want to meet your devotees. That's why you come. So like that, very beautiful prayers are there. And then they recollect all the past incarnations of Krishna. Krishna, you came as Matsya and you performed this pastime. As Varadevi, you did this. So Krishna book is filled with beautiful prayers. Also yesterday I was discussing with Govind Prabhu and he was mentioning very nice aspect. How in these prayers we can see, these are very special prayers. In the first chapter also we have all the demigods praying to Lord Vishnu. And second chapter also. These prayers are very special because here there is an entreaty by a group of devotees. Brahma was ignored by Krishna when he went alone to offer prayers. But when with all the demigods you offer prayers, Krishna is very pleased. Because this is Sankirtan. Coming together and offering prayers is very pleasing to Krishna. That's why in Kali Yuga, Sankirtan path is recommended, where you come together and glorify Krishna. This is very pleasing. Because Kali Yuga means these two problems, you know, quarrel and hypocrisy. When we are in together with other people, we quarrel. And when we are alone, we are hypocrites. Hypocrisy is practiced when you are alone. And quarrel is when you are with somebody else. So we have the process of japa, chanting. We chant our rounds so that our hearts become pure. And we overcome the tendency to be hypocrites. Because we connect to Krishna and we pray and we lead a life of integrity. And we perform Sankirtan so that the false ego dissolves and the tendency to quarrel goes away because we are coming together and uniting for a higher purpose, for glorifying Krishna. One Srila Prabhupada said that if we simply dance together in Guru Puja, all the differences amongst the God brothers will get dissolved. This is the power of Sankirtan, coming together. So especially the path of hearing and chanting, coming together, performing the Yuga Dharma of hearing, chanting, this is very powerful. And the Acharyas, they have not only practiced this, they have analyzed this very beautifully. And Ravindra Swarup Prabhu uses a nice phrase for this, common commitment to sadhana. He says, when devotees come together and they have a common commitment for sadhana, that is what helps the community flourish spiritually. Because everybody at the end of the day wants to make advancement in his or her spiritual life. And this advancement is not in our hand. The advancement is only dependent on the causeless mercy of Krishna. But from our side, what we can do? From our side, we can raise our devotional standards from a lower level or the Kanishta level and try to come to the Madhyama level. Kanishta Adhikari is he who has very sentimental understanding of scriptures. He says Krishna is God, but he is not convinced actually. He is just sentimental. And he doesn't practice Amanina Manadina. He can't respect other devotees. He is only I and Krishna. And nobody in between. And therefore he is not effective preacher. He cannot actually preach in the long run. Madhyamadhikari is he who knows who are envious people. He discriminates. He associates with those who are devotees. Makes friendship with them. Preaches to the ignorant and innocent, avoids the envious people. And Uttam Adhikari is the topmost Vaishnava. He sees Krishna in the heart of every living entity. And eventually, every devotee has to reach that stage where he can see Krishna everywhere, in every living entity. But it's not easy, it's not possible to see Krishna everywhere in the heart of every living entity. So what is the way out? How do we actually advance? Jiva Goswami says in the 11th canto, 2nd chapter, text number 47 purport. He says, we can actually see Krishna in the existence everywhere, in the heart of every living entity, if we first begin to respect other devotees of Krishna. If we cannot respect other devotees, other Vaishnavas, what to speak of having relationship with Krishna? So he elaborates very nicely that. And then somebody may ask, you know, how we can actually respect other devotees because we don't have that culture. So there he gives the same purport, the solution is given. Radhananda Maharaj quotes this in the Bhagavatam, that if we simply come together and hear Srimad Bhagavatam and chant together, this process will dissolve the false ego. And this will help us come together and be united and respect other devotees. It's a very powerful process. Actually, how does hearing Srimad Bhagavatam class regularly, how does it dissolve the false ego? It does it in two ways. You know, one is, when we are hearing regularly, our intelligence starts getting adjusted. Our intelligence changes. You know, we start understanding, oh, Krishna is the enjoyer. Oh, I am not the doer. These things we start. So our intelligence edges by constant attentive hearing. So earlier also, I didn't want to surrender to Krishna, but I was justifying it. But now also I may not want to surrender to Krishna, but I'm miserable about it because I'm hearing constantly that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. You know, so that hearing helps, it adjusts our intelligence. And the second advantage is, as we are hearing, the heart also starts getting purified because it is the transcendental sound vibration. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu, all the abhadras, the unwanted things, they go away from the heart. Vidunoti sur satam, shrinvatam sakata Krishna, punya shravana kirtanam. So when we hear about Lord Krishna, who is non-different from his description, that purifies the heart and we actually aspire to take shelter of Krishna. So you see how wonderful this process is of hearing. It may appear to be a very simple thing, you know, I'm just sitting in the class. But constantly hearing like this changes our intelligence. It purifies the heart. So it's a very scientific process. It's actually yoga. Shravanam, it's a yoga. Right now we are connecting to Krishna by hearing about Krishna. Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, he written an article in ISKCON Communications Journal on how spiritual communities, how they can sustain over a long run. And very beautifully analyzes based on the study of one American. See, yes, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu is a scholar in all Gaudiya Vaishnava literatures. Plus, he has studied one work of one Dr. Scott Peck, who is an American psychiatrist and a very famous author. And he has done his PhD on communities. There are various communities like, you know, the Christians, Muslims, Jehovah's Witness, like that. So he has also studied all these various communities. So Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, based on all these studies from a sociological perspective, as well as from spiritual perspective, he has analyzed everything brilliantly. And in that article, he explains how Kanishta community is that group of devotees where there is a lot of envy and a desire to get some position. And there is contentiousness, competitive tendency. And because of that false ego, the members in the community don't have heart-to-heart relationship and friendship with other devotees because they feel they are competing with each other rather than take shelter of each other. And because of this tendency, then what happens? He says, we don't reveal our hearts. And if we have problems in spiritual life, we don't say. Because if I reveal my problems to another devotee, that means implicitly I am taking a subordinate position. You know, if I have a problem and if I confess to another Vaishnava, that means I am subordinate. But I don't want to be subordinate because I want better position than you. So in this way, each member pretends to be more advanced than what he is and they carry on with their so-called devotional service and they start substituting spiritual advancement with organizational elevation. So then he says how like this the whole thing develops. Finally, corporate competitive environment becomes institutionalized in a spiritual organization, which is completely Kanishta. So like that, you know, when I was reading that, I was feeling like kind of hopeless. Because you're saying how we get into the mood of trying to solve immediate problems, but in the process of solving immediate problems, we fail to see the foundation, we fail to see the whole picture. But then, of course, he is very nice. He has given a lot of hope. He says it's not a hopeless situation. Because it's natural that we'll be Kanishtadhikari. We'll all be having lust, envy, greed, all those things. But he says there is hope. Because this Kanishtadhikari level is followed by Madhyamadhikari. But that doesn't happen just like that. That happens when all the members come together for performing sadhana bhakti. He says when you come together and you do hearing, chanting, united way, in a regular way, then the false ego dissolves. Then we hear about Krishna. Then we actually become, the hearts get purified and we start realizing that I'm not so advanced and we take shelter of Krishna. So, if we neglect sadhana, the devotees cannot progress on Kanishta level to Madhyama level. And then he says, if somebody have reached Madhyamadhikari level and still if he is not focusing on sadhana, hearing, chanting, then very soon he can be reverted back to Kanishta level. It's not that once you reach Madhyamadhikari level, you know, I stop hearing, chanting. Therefore, to both create and sustain a Madhyama society, hearing, chanting is the foundation. This is actually the most sacred service that we can do, coming together and performing Sankirtan and hearing about Krishna. It was Charu Prabhu who was in Utah, America. He came and he was saying this pastime. When he was with Srila Prabhupada in Australia, he once asked, Srila Prabhupada, how long does it take to get perfection in chanting? And what did Prabhupada say? 40 years. Prabhupada thought for some time and said 40 years. So you can imagine, it's not that spiritual life is we can't have a romantic conception of spiritual life. You know, that I come and I saw and I conquered, as they say, you know. I came, I chanted and I became pure devotee. It's hard work. For years together, devotees, they have to come together, they have to perform, they have to chant. And then one day, Krishna being pleased, he actually gives mercy. But we have hope, you know, because many times I used to get this doubt, you know, many times while preaching we have to play a larger than life image, we have to speak so many things which are beyond our realization, and it's so embarrassing sometimes, and it's, you know, it's painful. But then it is hope, because as long as we are coming together and performing sadhana bhakti, Krishna will take care. Because that way we are showing Krishna, that Krishna, see, I am what I am, I am so fallen, but I want to progress, I want your shelter. Some years back, Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj is a GBC in Russia, he had done very nice seminar called Anavruti Shabdat, based on the Vedanta Sutra aphorism, the science of sound vibration, and there he had explained how when devotees hear Krishna Katha regularly, it's a very scientific process, he had analyzed that very beautifully. So, what happens is, as we spend some time in Krishna consciousness, we may underestimate this power, the power of just submissively hearing Krishna Katha. Because hearing is not some ordinary activity. It has the power to redirect our consciousness. It has the power to change our consciousness. And therefore, devotees, they sincerely try to hear about Krishna. And hearing regularly also reveals, it actually reveals the humility of the heart. Because Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj was mentioning that how if somebody has a taste for hearing or is genuinely hearing, that means there is humility in the heart. Because it's not easy to hear. It's not easy to hear every day and somebody is speaking Krishna Katha. Because in conditioned life, we all like to speak. Isn't it? Because speaking means I am boss and you are servant. I am speaking. And the proof is, you know, when we have a conversation, I don't know how you feel. Many times when we're talking to someone, we feel, when he will stop so that I can start speaking. You know, that tendency is there to, that urge, vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, that it's an urge to speak is very strong. So therefore, because that speaking is a manifestation of our tendency to control. It's a subtle thing, but that's how it works. So therefore, when somebody hears attentively, sits and he's hearing about Krishna, that's actually an expression of humility. And if we cultivate this desire to hear, then that brings humility in the heart. Because deep within, a person who is hearing always, deep within, what the message is, you may not say it, but the message that he is communicating from deep within is, I'm a fool. I don't know. I want to hear from someone who knows. That is an unspoken message that person is giving. So we have to cultivate this mood. We have to try to hear. Therefore, you know, externally, it appears to be a very easy thing. You know, just sitting. What is this? Just sitting and hearing. It's so easy. But it's not easy. Because that requires humility. And slowly, slowly, we may externally start giving many excuses for not hearing. There is one story in the Puranas about one actor who was very poor. In the Vedic culture, actors were very poor because acting was very Shudra. It was considered to be a low-class activity. So very poor actor was there, performer. And one rich man wanted to see his acting. So he told him, you come and perform for me every day. At the end of 1 year, I will give you one cow. So this actor wanted to become rich. He wanted that cow immediately. So he told this rich man, I will act for you. But one condition, you should, as I'm performing, you should also hear what I'm saying. For this man said, oh, hearing, you have to perform, that is more difficult. Hearing is very easy. Okay. So he sat. So this actor was speaking also. And the condition was he has to hear. So after very first day, this rich man said, take your cow and go away. Enough. I can't hear. Enough. Because it's not easy to hear. Just sit and... So... Therefore, it's in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, that he describes the items of knowledge. And the first item of knowledge, he says, is Amanitvam Adam Bhitvam Ahimsa Kshantir Arjavam. Amanitvam, humility. I am insignificant. I don't know Krishna. I don't know. I want to hear from a person who knows the Supreme Truth. Somebody who is representing the parampara. So generally what happens, we think I know. In conditioned life, I know. Because I know, I don't have to hear. I have to speak. Keno Upanishad, it presents a very interesting paradox. That how one who knows, one who thinks he knows, he actually doesn't know. And one who thinks he doesn't know, he actually knows. So if you cultivate this mood that I don't know, I want to understand, then hearing it actually works, wonders in the heart. And this requires little simplicity. One has to be simple-hearted to be able to hear Krishna from anyone. Anyone in the sense from somebody who is representing the parampara. And along with this hearing, there has to be also deep humility. And that along with the humility of hearing, there has to be, we have to also practice attentiveness. In the sense, you know, as we are hearing, we have to also think how this, what this, what is being spoken, how is it applicable in my life? If we can connect that, or if we can ask that question as we are hearing, how can I apply this into my life? Then that hearing has become attentive and it has become personal. Then we actually get benefits. Then we actually access mercy. Krishna consciousness is not about, you know, accumulating a lot of information in the brain. It is about accessing the mercy in the heart. And mercy doesn't go to the brain. Mercy enters the heart. And we can access this mercy when we have that desire to apply what we are hearing in our own lives personally. So therefore, we have been given 2 ears and one tongue, as they say, so that we can hear more. 2 ears doesn't mean we hear from 1 ear and it goes out from the other ear. 2 years means we hear. And then we speak. There is actually one very famous Bhagavat Saptakar in Bombay. He did this gimmick before his program. He kept 3 huge dolls of the same size on his pandal. And everybody was saying, what is this Bhagavat Saptakar going on? And what is it? Why has he kept 3 dolls looking same size? Same. Why has he kept? So before he began his class, he called in front of the audience, he said, so all of you are wondering what these 3 dolls are. So he called his disciple. And his disciple came with a big stick. And then this sadhu said, so many of us in the audience, we are like this first doll. Please demonstrate. So the servant came with a stick. And he put that stick into the ear of the first doll. But that stick won't enter. It just wouldn't enter. He was trying. And he got exasperated. So then the sadhu said, see, many of us are like this doll. Katha is going on, but we are not allowing it to enter. We have blocked it. So he said, no, we should not be like this. doll. And then he said, many of us are like the second doll also. What is the second doll? Then he again told his disciple. So his disciple came with the stick. And he put that stick inside the ear of the second doll. And what happened? That stick went in, but it came out of the other hole, other ear. So then the sadhu said, see, many of us are like this also. It enters, from this ear it comes out. We should be like the third doll. Therefore, then the servant came with the stick. He put that stick inside the third doll's ear. It went in fully, but it didn't come out. Father said, it has gone into the heart. So this is the way we hear. We hear attentively because hearing is a serious responsibility. Actually, this is one of the most important services. This is a service, coming together, hearing like this. And we have said, we have spoken this so many times in so many lectures. We tell others that Krishna didn't speak the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, but through Arjuna he is speaking to all of us. How do we say? So similarly, Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami spoke not just to Parikshit Maharaj. He is speaking to all of us. So Krishna is speaking to us. Bhagavatam is for me, I. But we may be lenient, you know. We may think, oh, today Bhagavatam class, let me go. We may be in a very, we may lean back and, you know, let me hear how this person is going to entertain me today. let me see. We may be in that mood, you know, in the conditioned state. I am talking about myself. Please don't take offense. So how in this conditioned state, our hearing is also like very casual. But scriptures are saying we have to hear desperately. And when we are having that mood of urgency to hear, then we actually get shelter of Krishna Katha. Then we actually become peaceful. One Srila Prabhupada, he asked devotees, why is this Pacific Ocean very still? And devotees could not answer. And then Srila Prabhupada himself said, this ocean is still because the ocean is very deep. And then he said, if the water body is very shallow, then if there is a little disturbance, it gets agitated. Similarly, for devotional service is superficial, a little disturbance and we get agitated and we get disturbed in life. But a devotee is very deep, he is like the ocean, he takes shelter of Krishna. So because of that strong chanting, strong hearing, and hearing in the mood of an urgency, sense of urgency, that actually helps the devotees make advancement and it gives them actual shelter and peace. And we actually tap the spiritual energy, you know. We can actually access Krishna's mercy. There is one person who was studying in Harvard Law School. This is a true story. I don't remember the name of this person. And Harvard Law is a very famous school. Many of the American presidents have studied in this college, Harvard Law School. He studied there and he went on some project to Switzerland. And there Srila Prabhupada was giving lecture. So for two nights, no, I'm saying the combination of somebody who is really pure and advanced and wants to give Krishna to others. And if the hearer is desperate, look at the miracle it can create. Prabhupada was desperate to give Krishna. And here was a man who was looking for truth and he was desperate to hear. So he heard Prabhupada for two nights. And third night he met Srila Prabhupada on a personal meeting. And the result of this was, fourth day, he left Switzerland and under Prabhupada's order, he went to Austria, Vienna. And there he took some garage on a rent and started opening a center of ISKCON and started preaching. And that's how ISKCON spread in Austria. See the power of hearing and the power of having pure motivation while speaking. What a combination that can create. So therefore, when we are hearing attentively from a person who is sincere, we are not simply hearing the sound, we are accessing the mercy of the whole parampara which is coming and we can access that mercy into our heart. So it's the whole parampara that is coming to us. So that's how powerful it is, and that sense of desperation, that sense of urgency while hearing helps. There is one very famous story in the Padma Puran of one man called Ananta, and he had a wife called Dunduli. He was desperate for a child. So he went to a sadhu. And this sadhu told him, you are a fool. You are not destined to have a child. You better take shelter of Bhagavatam. And take shelter of Krishna. But he was insisting, no, I want a child. So then the sadhu said, see, if you have a child, your complications will increase because you are not destined to have. So your entanglements will increase. Now your entanglement is wife and you. Then you will have child, then more entanglements. Better is Krishna's arrangement that you don't have a child. Leave everything and take shelter of Bhagavatam. He said, no, I want a child. So the father said, okay, you take this apple and you give it to your wife. And when she eats, and you'll get a child. Now, his wife was very, very bad lady. She never cooperated with her husband. And she didn't want a child because she didn't want to go through the labor pain. So she told her husband that, why don't you go on Tirth Yatra and come back in 1 year, and by that time my child will be there. So he went. When he went, she gave that apple to the cow in the cow shed. And meanwhile, her sister was giving birth to a child, and she told her sister that, I want to adopt your child. So she took that child also. And meanwhile, the cow ate the apple, and the cow gave birth to a human child. And that child had ears like the cow. So he was called as Gokarna, the ears of the cow. And the other child was called Dundukari. So these two children. So when this man came back, he was very happy. Oh, I have two children. So Dundukari and Gokarna. But Gokarna grew up to be very sincere. Used to study Bhagavatam every day. But Dundukari became very nasty. And he was very bad. He started associating with all bad people. And eventually, he, as they grow older, as they became bigger, he drove away his parents out of the house. And Gokarna was anyway detached. He was studying Bhagavatam in the holy places. But Ananta, he was driven out of home, and he came running to his son, elder son, Gokarna, and he said, see, my son has driven me out of home. I'm so miserable. Please help me. So what did Gokarna tell him? Take shelter of Bhagavatam. Take shelter of Krishna. Same thing what the sadhu had told him 20 years back. Same thing his son told him. So finally he realized, yes. So he gave up everything. He took shelter of Bhagavatam. And he heard, and then eventually he became old and he left his body. And then Gokarna went to all the holy places to perform, even to Gaya to perform the Pinda Shraddha. So there, when after he came back, he realized that his son, Dundukari, his brother, Dundukari, was killed. Because he was so bad, he started associating with prostitutes, women of low class. And this group of prostitutes, they came together and they killed him. He was a very big rascal. He was a very bad person. So he died. So when Gokarna entered the house, he saw the bhuta, the preta of this Dundukari, his brother, haunting that place. And Dundukari was miserable. He said, please help me, please help me. I'm suffering in this bhuta body, you know, I'm in a pishacha form. I'm miserable. Please deliver me. So Gokarna went to the village priest and they told him, you should go to Gaya and perform Pinda Shraddha. You should do some Shraddha ceremony for him. So he did that, but still this ghost was hovering around in that house and he was miserable. Finally, he was told to worship Suryadev. He worshipped Suryadev. So then Suryadev told Gokarna, the only shelter is Srimad Bhagavatam. Study Bhagavatam. So then Gokarna, he read Bhagavatam for 7 days and all the devotees came, all the villagers came to hear. And he kept one bamboo shaft with 7 notes. So as each day he would finish the katha, one of the notes would break, crack, signifying that how the preta is now getting delivered. For the end of the 7th day, all the notes were crashed. And then the Vaikuntha airplane came and they took Dundukari, because Dundukari was desperate. Actually, what happened? Dundukari, when he started Bhagavata Sapta, he told this Pishach, and I'm going to speak Bhagavatam, you have to hear with great attention. So Dundukari was desperately hearing each and every word of the katha that was being spoken. So at the end of the 7 days, Vaikuntha airplane came to pick up this person who was in a ghostly body. Now the main part of the story, the climax is now, as the Vaikuntha airplane came and they were taking him, Gokarna stopped. Gokarna said, how can you take him? He was such a rascal. He's so fallen. And there are so many people here who are hearing, who are sincere. Why are you taking only him? And what did the Vishnu Dutas say? Jai Shri Shraddha Gopinath ki jai. Why did they take him? Because they say, because he was hearing very attentively, desperately. And the others, they were hearing, but then they were going home and drinking tea or watching TV or things like that. They were also doing things like that. But he was desperately hearing each and every word that was being spoken. So that's why he got delivered. You can imagine. So when we are hearing or chanting as desperation, as if it's our life, then it works. I'm speaking all big things, I'm aware of it, but I'm speaking it for myself. Burijan Prabhu was saying once, that once one dog was chasing after a rabbit, he was very hungry. So the rabbit was running, and all the other dog's friends were watching this dog. So somehow the rabbit escaped, and the dog was really chasing hard. And after the end, the dog came back disappointed, and all his dog friends started laughing. Hey, you couldn't even catch a rabbit. You're so bad. But this dog said, yeah. This dog was humble. He said, yeah, I could not catch him because I was running for my food, but this rabbit was running for his life. But then Burijan Prabhu gave purport. He said, Maya is like a dog. She's running after us to catch us. But if we are chanting for life, this is his realization. I'm just repeating. He says, if we are chanting for our life, like the rabbit was running for his life, then he said, Maya cannot touch. Devi esha gunamai, mama maya duratyaya, mame vaye prapadyante, maya metam tarantite. So if that is the mood in which, that is the urgency in which a devotee chants, a devotee hears, because we know a devotee has heard so many times that death can come at any time. This sword of death is dangling above our heads. Any time it can just come down. Any time the chandelier could fall on our heads, the earth could crack, the tsunami could come, it's so near. Any time, all three can happen. Same time, or at least one of them can happen. I remember Janmashtami night, we were coming, driving back from Borivali. It was around 1:30, 1:45 in the night. And this driver, taxi, we were coming. And at Bandra, in one split second, there was another car, vehicle going this way. And just one split second it went, you know. We were so close. 1 second here or there, it would have been a head-on collision. And it could have been a fatal accident. Janmashtami night, very auspicious. But it could have happened. And then, just such a close shave, you know. And after that, we behaved as if nothing had happened. We came back, we slept, next day again, struggling to chant our rounds, doing our daily business. That means, the point is how death is there everywhere. It's like, you know, some prisoner has been put a noose around his neck. And any time it can be pulled down. Or the firing squad is ready with the gun. Any time they can shoot. So death is around the corner. And we are busy solving so many problems of this world. In our life, so many problems are there. This problem, that problem. But we don't realize this world itself is a problem. It's a big problem. There is dukkha, there is death. So devotee understands that this is all useless. Let me take shelter of Krishna. Let me hear attentively and get out of this world. So when I was hearing Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj mentioning how one should be desperate for hearing, and I actually saw it, that convinced me, because I saw that he is actually doing what he is speaking, you know. He has created a brahmachari ashram on the outskirts of Moscow, place called Yurolova, and it's full of brahmacharis there, very sincere, and they are hardworking, they work hard whole day, and they do a lot of services. So Radha Gopinath was giving class, he was giving one seminar, it started at 3 o'clock in the evening, afternoon. And after 5:30, I became restless. 2.5 hours I was hearing, then I was feeling, you know, when will it end? I started thinking like that. And all these brahmacharis are trained by Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj himself. They have very high standards. Morning program starts at 4, ends at 9:30. Then whole day they do service, they have brahmachari class, book distribution. So when 5:30 I became restless, Radha Gopinath Prabhu maybe realized that I am getting restless. So he asked the audience, so I started the class at 3, now it's 5:30, I didn't realize time is going so fast. So when should I stop? So my mind was saying, now. But others, you know, spontaneously other brahmacharis said, 8:30, Prabhuji, 8:30. I said, spontaneously they said, and I was shocked. I said, I have come here to conduct seminars and give training. But it was so, I was so ashamed to hear that. And they're saying with that innocence, you know, 8:30, because 8:30 they have Shayan Darshan, and that's how then they can't discuss beyond that. So then I was thinking, 3 to 8:30, they're going to hear, and they're all sitting very attentively. But Radha Gopinath Prabhu was very merciful. By 6:30 he stopped the class. But I was feeling so guilty that I have no taste, you know. 3.5 hours he spoke, and they were willing to hear 2 more hours. So basically, we may not be on that level, I agree, but we should know the standard. The standard is that taste for, that eagerness to hear. If not so many hours, at least 1 hour Bhagavatam class every day we can hear. So, but the problem is the subconscious mind. You know, we have heard so many lectures, but that subconscious mind is always rebelling, because the subconscious mind already has a plan for us. And the subconscious mind knows how to lead a life without Krishna consciousness. It has a perfect plan. Everything is, Prabhupada writes in one purport, the unreasonable unwillingness to surrender to Krishna. So we have our unwillingness to surrender to Krishna is very unreasonable. So therefore, when we keep hearing Bhagavatam classes, Krishna Katha, and reading Prabhupada's purports, that is not different from Shravanam, studying Prabhupada's purports in a devotional mood. For this culture, it goes very deep into our chitta, our consciousness, and it actually helps us subdue the subconscious mind's rebellion. And Goswami Maharaj was giving his own example for this, which I liked very much. He says, when he became a devotee, first 2 years, when he was reading Prabhupada's book, his mind would scream, get out! What is this? This is nonsense! Why Prabhupada is writing like this? His mind would rebel and protest. But he says, but I kept reading for 2 years, attentively. And every day was a torture for me. Mind was torturing me. Then he said, after 2 years, my mind stopped giving arguments. So then he said, I asked my mind, now you're not giving any arguments. Why? So the mind said, I've finished all my arguments. Exhausted. So that is the power of attentive hearing every day over a period of time, that adjusts our intelligence, that sound vibration purifies the heart, and we actually get connected to Krishna. And we have to understand that of all Vedic literatures that we have, Bhaktivedanta purports, they are not ordinary. What Srila Prabhupada has written is not ordinary, because Srila Prabhupada himself said with great humility once, he admitted how he didn't want to come to the material world. Krishna forced him to come. Krishna told him, you please go. Prabhupada kept saying no, and Krishna told him what finally? Just go and write some books. So these books which Prabhupada has written, they are actually Krishna's order, direct order in the spiritual world. So these purports can purify our hearts. And Prabhupada, when he was performing his pastimes in the material world, he showed how serious he was about giving us these purports, these books which he has written. When Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, Upendra Prabhu was saying this pastime. I read it in Prabhupada Nectar. So in Vrindavan, there is this hot wind that blows in the summer season from the Rajputana desert. It's called as Lu. And it can kill. So Brijvasis, they generally close their doors and shut their windows and they stay indoors. So one day Prabhupada was doing his translation work in the terrace of his house, and this wind started blowing. This was the Lu. And Upendra Prabhu became very concerned. He bought a chadar for Prabhupada. And he saw amazing thing. Prabhupada was in Samadhi. He was absorbed in reading Bhagavatam. And this Lu can kill a person. It's very intense. And Upendra Prabhu came and put that shawl. Prabhupada just took that shawl but continued. He was so absorbed. He didn't look here and there. And then that Lu stopped, but Prabhupada was absorbed. For hours, Prabhupada was sitting like that and doing his translation work. Even Jew, when he was staying and doing translation, we have heard in Lilamrit, how when Prabhupada would be doing translation in Jew temple, when he was staying, whole night he could not do translation because the dogs were barking, street dogs. It was so disturbing. But that didn't dissuade Prabhupada from his service. In San Francisco, once one mad girl came to his apartment at 2 in the night when he was doing translation. And she knocked on the door and Prabhupada opened the door. Prabhupada said, what do you want? She just kept staring at Prabhupada. And finally, she entered Prabhupada's house, and Prabhupada and she were alone. So Prabhupada immediately came out, and she also came out. And as she came out, both came out, she pulled the door, and the door was self-locking door. So now both Prabhupada and this girl are outside the apartment at 2 o'clock in the night, and Prabhupada doesn't have a key, and the key is inside the house. And then he's searching for Mukunda's house so that he can give him a key and he can enter. And this girl is following him in the middle of the night. And she just suddenly starts screaming in the middle of, she would scream. And Prabhupada would just tolerate. Can you imagine? Bizarre, you go crazy. And then finally Prabhupada finds Mukunda, and Mukunda looks at that girl and says, you're crazy, you're disturbing this old sadhu. Swamiji is doing translation work. So this girl again starts screaming for no reason. And then Mukunda has a spare key, and Prabhupada comes back to the house, and again she's following. So Mukunda also comes. Prabhupada enters the house, locks the door, and then this girl, Mukunda, takes her away. Prabhupada, what does he do after this 1 hour of drama? He comes back and continues translation as if nothing has happened. Imagine something like that happens to us if you are studying for your exams or something. You will go crazy. Prabhupada, just so absorbed he was. And the next day morning, Prabhupada is giving class that girl is sitting in the front. She comes for the class. So when you read all those things, you can imagine how Prabhupada has given us this purport. So when we study them, it has the potency to change our consciousness. It has the potency to influence our consciousness. We may not get masala, you know, we may not get some juice as we think of juice, but we get nourishment. And that nourishment is what will sustain us. We may eat junk food outside, and that may give some taste to the tongue. But actually we need a staple diet. And that, when we have a culture or a sadhana or a practice of reading a few hours every week or a few hours every fortnight or a monthly quota or something like that, if you have some, and if you stick to it, and if you actually take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shrinvata Shriddaya Nityam Grinatascha Svacheshtitam Kalena Nati Dirgena Bhagavan Vishate Ridhi. Sukadeva Goswami says in the second canto that if we hear with faith, Shriddha, Shrinvata Shriddaya Nityam, and secondly, every day. Nityam means regularly. If we can do these two things, hear with faith and hear regularly, what will happen? These two is not sufficient. There is one more thing that is required. Hear with faith every day, and third, most important, Shrinvata Shriddaya Nityam Grinatascha Svacheshtitam. Svacheshtitam means hard work. Hearing requires hard work. Sukadeva Goswami also knew that it is not easy to hear. But if we hear as a discipline, as hard work, what will happen? Kalena Nati Dhirgena. Very soon, Bhagavan Vishate Ridhi. Krishna will manifest in the heart. So this is the potency of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this material world has been made in such a way that we have to go through suffering. But if we can get connected to Krishna before our death, through the process of hearing and chanting, then our future is very hopeful. Like, you know, they have this, in the movies they show amnesia. Some people suffer from memory loss because of some accident. And then they are given two kinds of treatment. They are taken to their home and they are told, see, this is your house, this is your brother, this is your wife, and he is not remembering anything. And then second part is they also give him electric shock to help him remember. So we have also come to this material world and we are going through amnesia. We have forgotten our actual home, our actual abode, Vrindavan, Golok Vrindavan. We have forgotten. So Bhagavatam, Prabhupada's purports, Krishna Katha is the means by which our memory is revived. We are told, this is Krishna, this is where we have to go, this is Yamuna. And simultaneously there is shock also, electric shock. Adhyatmik klesh, adi bhautik klesh. So there is suffering in this material world. So we have to go through both. So as we are going through the shocks, material energy is not going to stop because we are a devotee. So that shock will come, but as that shock is coming, we have to take shelter of the process of memory revival also. The memory revival sessions that we have every day. Krishna Katha that we hear. But this combination helps us attract Krishna into the heart. Once one British government sent a spy to investigate what is this Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur doing? What is this Gaudiya Math? Are they some independence movement? Find out. For this spy came and he heard Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur attentively every day. And after hearing for some months, he joined the Math. And he became Bhakti Pradipa Tirtha Swami Maharaj, one of the stalwart preachers of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Gaudiya Math. Power of hearing, you know. If somebody hears attentively or reads Prabhupada books attentively, his life will change. And people know it also. Radha Gopinath Prabhu was distributing books some years ago in VT station. And one person nobody was buying. So he became desperate. So he caught one nice looking gentleman with a tie and a coat. And he caught him and said, please take this book. He said, no. He said, please take, your life will change. And that man said, I know it. That's why I don't want to take that book. Because people know, you know, the power of Srimad Bhagavatam, the power of Krishna Katha. So when we hear constantly, and that hearing will give us the strength to absorb the shocks, that material energy is giving us. Pravishta karana randrena swanam bhava saroruham dhunoti shamalam krishna salilasya yatasharat. Shukdev Goswami further says that pravishta karana randrena, when Krishna katha enters the ear hole, pravishta karana randrena swanam bhava saroruham, it bathes the consciousness. The consciousness actually gets refreshed. And dhunoti shamalam krishna, Krishna washes off all the impurities from the heart. And what is this washing compared to? Salilasya yata sharat. Just like the rains during the autumn season. In the autumn season, the rains are very special. When it rains heavily in the autumn season, it washes off all dirt that has accumulated in the lakes. Everything is, all the dirty things are washed off by that rain. So Krishna Katha, hearing about Lord Krishna, is compared to the autumn season rain. That rain can cleanse the heart completely. Because our heart has so much of nasty thing that we don't even know what is all there. Like, you know, rats, they dig up so many holes and they put so many things in those holes. They don't know how many holes they have dug. And they keep storing it with so much food and so many things. Like we also, you know, we may have so many files in our computer. We may not know how many files we have. So many things we keep accumulating. So many desires in the heart we have accumulated that we don't even know what all is there. We may think I have only one or two desires. But that is like one or two fishes you see on the surface of the ocean. But inside the ocean, there is a huge world. So many things are there. But dhunoti shamalam krishna salilasya yatasharat. But Krishna katha, constant hearing, will wash off that. Actually, one grihastha devotee, he shared a very nice realization. I don't want to embarrass him, but he comes with his young son many times to hear the Bhagavatam classes. So one day, the Bhagavatam speaker had not come and I was sitting next to him. And I told him, Prabhu, you are so sincere. You are a grihastha and you have a child. So difficult, but still you are coming so often for hearing classes. And he said, Prabhu, I have no shelter. My problem is I am very attached to my son. 24 hours, I am only thinking of my son. And I love him so much. And I can't think of my life without him. But Prabhu, I also know that when he grows up, he is going to break my heart. I said, no, your son is very nice. He will not do that. He said, no, Prabhu, I have broken my parents' hearts. So he is also one day going to cause me a lot of pain. I know that. I said, no, Prabhu, your son is very special. So finally I kept insisting, no, your son will not do like that. No, your son will be a nice devotee. He said, even if he becomes a nice devotee, Prabhu, will this material world not cause me heart pain? Will this material world not give me distress? If not my son, somebody else will break my heart. Don't you think? What do you think? He asked me. So that philosophical question, you know, I can't just say, no, everything will be nice for you. I said, yes. He said, yes, I am going to face kicks by the material nature. And this son whom I love so much, and I can't stop loving him, he may cause me a lot of pain. And that's why I'm coming for Bhagavatam class every day, hoping that I get attached to Krishna. For that when these things happen in my life, I'm already attached to Krishna. And I can withstand these shocks this material nature is going to inevitably give me. It's just a matter of time. So material world has been designed in such a way that whoever we are, she disregards our position. She has utter contempt for our material acquisitions. She will just smash us. So therefore, we have no shelter but Krishna. Dautatma Purusha Krishna Padamulam Namunchati Mukta Sarva Pariklesha Pantasva Sharanam Yatha. Shukdev Goswami further says in the next verse, that the experience, you know, ultimately we all want to have some feeling, some experience in the heart. At the end of the day, how much of our philosophy you hear, we want to have some feelings that will sustain us, that give us some taste to continue in devotional service. So he is explaining what is the feeling you will get in your heart if you hear every day. Dautatma Purusha Krishna Padamulam Namunchati. You will get a desire to not leave Krishna. And then what will happen? Mukta sarva pariklesha, all that burning of the heart, that hankering for material things, that will go away. And the feeling you will get is exactly like the feeling pantasva sharanam yatha. The feeling of a traveler, pantha, who travels to many places for a long distance and finally he comes back home. In the olden times when people would travel, they would take long time to travel. They had to walk and then take a boat. So he's saying, Pantasva Sharanam Metta. What is the feeling a traveler gets after he travels everywhere and then comes back home? That is the feeling you will get when you hear about Krishna. You will feel relief. You will feel shelter. Sharanam. You will feel shelter of Krishna. So, and this I have heard from different devotees that how they have actually practically benefited by hearing. You know, it's not that one day, one fine day, love for Krishna will awaken. Even practically we can, shoka moha bhayapaha, we can feel freedom from lamentation, hankering. One devotee was recently giving Bhagavatam class. So another devotee I know, he was going through some difficulties at home. So this is a real realization, real experience which happened few days back. Now this devotee knows philosophy, he's heard a lot of Krishna consciousness. So he came for the Bhagavatam class as usual, but back of the mind so many problems. His father had given him some money, then withdrew that money. So a lot of things that happened. And then his brother had deviated, gone astray. So he was in a lot of pain. Why my brother has gone like that? And then why I didn't get this money? So he was sitting in the class, and when the class began, this devotee prayed, Krishna, you know, I want to take shelter of you. I want to get connected to you. Please help me. And he prayed like that, and he heard the class attentively. And the speaker, Nanda Dulal Prabhu, was giving class. And he mentioned a point, a simple point which we have heard hundreds of times. And he, while giving the class, he said, everybody is under the control of Kala Karma Gunadi. No, he quoted a verse which says how we are all controlled by time, modes, and activities. Kala Karma Guna Adhina. And that's why everybody is acting like a puppet, helplessly being dragged by Kala, Karma and Guna. And when this devotee said that, so this devotee was hearing the class, he suddenly felt he got the answer to his problem. Oh, that is the reason why my brother has deviated. Oh, that's why we are having this problem, because we are all helpless puppets. And immediately, now this has been almost 2 weeks since this happened, he says, last 2 weeks, this problem is gone from my head. I'm feeling so much relief and comfort just by remembering this statement from the Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm feeling I got the answer. He already knew that philosophical point, but it made sense because he heard in a submissive way. And then when this devotee also made a very casual statement, very nice statement which I've heard many times. He said, Krishna is Hari, he takes away everything. But please understand, Krishna doesn't take away everything that is auspicious for us. Hari means he who takes away that which is inauspicious for us. If something is auspicious, it doesn't take. So immediately this devotee got the answer why he didn't get that money which was coming. Oh, inauspicious. It's not needed for my spiritual advancement, so Krishna didn't give me. If something is auspicious, Krishna will not take. So immediately he felt comforted. He felt sheltered by the words of Srimad Bhagavat. Like this, we have heard many examples of devotees who, when they hear attentively, they actually experience reciprocation from Krishna. So like that, we can come together and take part in this Sankirtan Yajna of hearing and chanting. And to conclude, I would like to just say that even if we don't understand how it makes sense, but just coming together and taking part, it has potency. I remember some years ago, Radhana Swami Maharaj was giving a class for the brahmacharis. And he was saying how we should all come together and take prasad at lunchtime. And then somebody said, we have services. Maharaj said, no. And he gave a whole class on how we should take prasadam together. You know, it logically was not making so much sense. Just come together. Now, somebody who knows so much philosophy and so many big, big things, but is speaking about how we should take lunch prasadam together. And in the end he said, even if you don't understand what I am saying and why I am saying, please come together and take lunch prasadam just because I am saying. You know, just for my sake he was saying. So the power of coming together, just being united, that's very potent, very powerful. And we may think, oh, it's you know, it's an external material activity. You know, just sitting and hearing is like a material activity. Or even chanting, if you see, you could chant any names. How does it make it different by chanting Hare Krishna? Or taking prasad, it's like taking food. How does all this help? These activities externally may appear to be material, but because it is all connected to Krishna, it gives us Krishna prem. Like Shyamananda Prabhu gives this famous example, that pan. As children, you know, children eat pan when they go to some wedding or some functions. Not because they want to get intoxicated, but they enjoy. It's green colored pan, betel leaf, and they put gulkand, which is brown color, and they put limestone, chuna, which is white. So white, chuna, brown gulkand, green pan leaf. But when they put it in the mouth and chew it, what happens to the tongue? It becomes red. So he says, none of the ingredients are red. How does the tongue become so red? So he says, as a child, they used to eat and they used to ask other boys and they used to show their tongues and see how red it would become. So then he said, how can all these combinations, none of which is red, cause redness? He said, similarly, all these activities may appear externally material. What is this? Coming together, taking food together, guyam akhyati, coming together, having friendship. What? How does this all help? But the result is, the net result is Krishna Prema. And Srila Prabhupada emphasized on this. When Srila Prabhupada was leaving his body in Vrindavan 1977, Kartik, during the last days, he called Giriraj Maharaj. And in the night, Prabhupada was alone. Prabhupada said, Giriraj, how will this movement go on? And then Prabhupada himself answered, if you are sincere and if you chant Hare Krishna, this movement will go on. Such a simple answer, but so profound. So this movement can be sustained by Sankirtan, by coming together and chanting and hearing about Lord Krishna. So let us help each other. So we need shelter and we need mercy of all Vaishnavas. So let us come together and take part in the Sankirtan again. Please Krishna, because that is ultimate goal, is to please Radha Gopinath, to please Krishna. And then by their mercy, we can continue in our devotional service. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Okay. Yeah, I'll take this first. Prabhuji, you were referring to Prabhupada pastimes. Is it that Prabhupada had two marriages because he did not like his first wife? Please kindly explain. Yeah, somebody else also asked this question 2 days back. No, Prabhupada, it's not that Prabhupada married twice. Before marriage, Prabhupada asked his father that he wanted to marry another girl. I think that right every man or woman has. Before marriage, you can always, I think they are, and that's nothing controversial or, it's nothing abnormal. So before marriage, Srila Prabhupada was attracted to another girl and Prabhupada's father said, no, it's better you get married to this girl because this will help you get detached later on. Prabhupada's father was a visionary, Gaur Mohande. So, and before marriage, I think you can ask the marriage board for further clarification. So you can see many girls or you can see many boys and then finally when it is compatible, they get married. Similarly, Prabhupada's compatibility was like that. So they were working on Prabhupada's marriage like that as a grihastha, when he was a grihastha. And very important, Prabhupada didn't get married twice. He only got married once and he sincerely served his family. 7 times he went through major business losses. First time when he went through a loss, his god brothers told him in 1932, January, Atulanand Brahmachari at Allahabad temple. He told him, Abhay Babu, give up everything because his Allahabad business was collapsing. This is Krishna's arrangement. Come, take sannyas. Prabhupada said, no, I have a family, I have a responsibility, I have to serve them. And he sincerely served them. Then he came to Bombay. Bombay business collapsed. In Calcutta, again Lucknow, then again, then finally started Vimlaton Laboratory, invested 4,000 rupees. So much he did for his family. He sincerely tried, but they would never cooperate. His wife would never cooperate with this desire to preach Bhagavatam. So finally he had to leave his family and take Vanaprastha. Also this pastime, who told us this pastime? That Prabhupada wanted to marry another girl before getting married. Prabhupada himself has said, so this shows his humility actually. You know, Prabhupada talking about his own life. Actually, even Prabhupada, if you see, one of his main characteristics has been his humility. He gave hope to his disciples and followers. Like, you know, Prabhupada, why would he translate Bhagavatam in the early morning, 2:33? Any reasons? Anybody knows why he would translate? Because that was his devotional ecstasy. He was feeling ecstatic remembering Krishna. But when people would tell him, oh Swamiji, you are doing translation in the night and when everybody is sleeping, and Prabhupada would be very humble. Prabhupada would say, no, I get pain in the ear, I can't sleep at night, that's why I write. That is not the reason. The actual reason is that was Prabhupada's devotional ecstasy. One sannyasi told Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, last night, I am a sannyasi, you know, but last night my wife came in my dream." His previous ashram, he had a wife. So Prabhupada could have smashed him. "What nonsense, you are a sannyasi. How can your wife come in your dream?" He said, "Prabhupada, my wife came in my dream." Prabhupada said, "No, that's okay. Even my wife came in my dream last night." So Prabhupada was hope giving, you know. So Prabhupada is saying how before getting married to the lady he actually got married to, he expressed to his father that, "Can I get married to another girl instead? Can I keep her as my wife?" And Prabhupada said no. Prabhupada's father, Gauraman, they said no, this is better. Because eventually, years later, this will help you practice Krishna consciousness. Thank you. Yes, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhu.
Sorry, Bhagi. Chal nahi raha.
You have to speak on it to test whether it is on.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Yeah. Prabhupada said that chant and be happy. But in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that this place is called Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. Dukkhalayam means a place where there is misery and suffering only. And Ashashvatam means it's temporary world. So, if the Lord himself says that this place is full of misery, how can one be happy by chanting?
Krishna also says in the 9th chapter of Gita, Susukam kartum avyayam. If you practice the process of Krishna consciousness, you'll always be happy. And when Krishna is saying this world is miserable, temporary, Krishna is saying this world is miserable, cause of all suffering, if you don't remember him. But if you remember him, this world becomes full of bliss. Vishwam purna sukhayate vidhi mahendra divsha kitayate yat karunya kataksha vaibhavavatam tameva gauram stama kevalya narakayate tribashapur akasha pushpayate. So this vishwam purna sukhayate, for a pure devotee who always remembers Krishna, he becomes completely blissful internally. So although this world is miserable, we are encouraged to remember Krishna for that we become blissful, not for our sake. Because that is the nature of bhakti, because we are connected to Krishna and Krishna is full of bliss. So if you are connected to Krishna, it's natural that you will also be happy. Because you are part and parcel of Krishna. But the advantage is, we will not be happy and desire to be in the material world. A devotee who connects to Krishna will be happy, but he will desire to go back to spiritual world. His happiness is different. His happiness is in service to Krishna, in remembrance of Krishna, and also his excitement and his desire to go back to Krishna. Like, you know, if you see materialistic people, when they are dying, they are in so much anxiety. They don't know what's going to happen, in so much fear, uncertainty. But devotees, if you see, many devotees, when they leave their bodies, they are blissful. How? How is it possible? Because they are excited, they are going back to Krishna. Because they have whole life remembered Krishna. They have had a relationship with Krishna. Now that relationship is going to materialize. Just like in the Vedic wedding, when the girl is getting married, after marriage, the girl is crying a lot. Why? Because of two reasons. One is she doesn't know where she is going, what family, what will happen. That uncertainty is there in the heart. And the second reason for crying is her attachment to her family and, you know. But if a girl has had a relationship already for many years,
courtship,
and that has preceded her marriage, so on the wedding day, when she is departing from her family, she may be externally crying, but internally, silently, she may be celebrating the departure. Because she's got connected already through a relationship, and she's excited about going back, going to her new house. So, similarly, a devotee who has already had a relationship with Krishna for many years of practice of sadhana bhakti, remembrance of Krishna. So as he is dying, there is no fear. These two problems are not there. First is that material attachment is not so much because already got attached to Krishna. And secondly, there is no fear of uncertainty. He knows where he is going. So that bliss, that happiness that excitement of going back and serving Krishna makes a devotee happy. Hare Krishna. We can take one last question. Okay.
Sometimes, Prabhuji, when somebody speaking very intellectual philosophy or sort of stories, we get a lot of interest in hearing. But sometimes speaking simple Krishna Gatha, speaker, is not so like knowledgeable, and he's speaking simple philosophy. And then sometimes we feel that it's a little boring, or we are hard all the time. So how to get developed taste, irrespective of whatever speaker is?
Yeah, when we find boring, we can pray to Krishna. Because our altars are open when the class is going on. We can say, Krishna, I'm finding this class boring. Krishna, this is my fault. I'm not getting attracted. Please help me, Krishna. And then suddenly you will discover some nectar in that class. Yeah, so, so as you're looking at the speaker, you can also look at Krishna. Krishna, help me. It's our fault. See, basically, if you know this, that my finding the class boring is my fault. As long as we are convinced of that, then there is no problem. Because that is purification, no? That is to keep you humble. Oh, I have no taste, see? I'm feeling sleepy. Once Radhana Swami Maharaj was in Mira Road, in the hospital, he was taking some treatment. And one very senior devotee, Prabhupada disciple, he's not a very attractive speaker. And he is very soft-spoken and mild, and he was speaking, giving class. So that transmission was going on. So Maharaj was on his bed. So I think Dwarkadish Prabhu, I don't know who, one of them, he turned off the class, thinking that Maharaj may take rest now. So Maharaj said, who is giving class? So Maharaj thought some brahmachari may be giving. So when Dwarkadish Prabhu said, Maharaj, this so-and-so sannyasi is giving. And Maharaj immediately got up and he sat attentively to hear the class. So Dwarkadish Prabhu was wondering, this speaker is, he's speaking simple philosophy in the same tone and it may not be very attractive. And Maharaj could take rest. And then Maharaj anticipating, understanding what is going on in the other's heart, mind, he said, you may be thinking why I'm hearing this class, but this person has served Prabhupada with so much dedication for so many decades. Each and every sentence he speaks is potent with rich realizations. So if I can submissively hear what he's speaking, my heart will change and I'll get love for Krishna. So when a person is not attractive materially or is speaking something which is bewildering us externally, materially to our material mind and senses, we should look at him and immediately think, he is like a holy place. Just like we go to Vrindavan today, you will see Vrindavan. What will you see in Vrindavan if you go? You will see gutters, you will see pigs. But what are we told? Dham has got a thin layer, covering of yoga maya. And that layer, that covering is preventing us from accessing the dham. Similarly, pure devotee or sincere devotee, there is covering. And because of that covering, we are not able to access the mercy that the devotee can give. So Bhagavatam explains this. Bhavadvida Bhagavati Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swantasthena Gadavrita. Pure devotee of Krishna, he is holy place personified because he can convert an ordinary place into a holy place because of his remembrance of Krishna, because he is carrying Krishna in his heart. So this devotee is carrying Krishna in his heart, so he may be boring, he may not be attractive, he may be repulsive to my mind and intelligence, but that is the covering of Maya, thin covering. Let me access the mercy by ignoring that. Just like I have to ignore the external covering of the holy place to access the mercy of the Dham. So it is in this mode if we hear, then one day Krishna will help us. See, it's a culture, it's not overnight. And we all will have likes and dislikes and preferences. That's natural, condition stage. But we should be humble and pray to Krishna. Okay, I'm sorry, we've gone beyond time. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi.